Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 611. We're continuing the do's and don'ts of staying happily married. And we were talking in the last shir about various goals of marriage that are important to keep in mind. And Rabbi Dessler also adds another insight into the shleimus of marriage, is what it does is it transforms a person from a noitel to a noisein, from a receiver to a giver. And we had many shiurim on this. Discussing the qualification of it is that, yes, we need to be a noisein, but that doesn't mean that we don't express healthy needs to each other that are healthy, which we're going to talk about. But the overall idea, though, is the idea of removing that ego and self-interest. Children are brought up as noitlim. They're constantly receiving from their parents. Sometimes they spoil their children by giving in to all or most of their desires. And once married, the person's picture changes and he has to be prepared to be continuously being a noisein, both for his spouse and for his children, and to become a lot less selfish and to become more selfless. And Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu, he talks about it in the Kuntres HaChesed and in the with the dynamics of giving, of that he talks about in Chelak Aleph, that constantly, he tells, he instructs a couple in the wedding day, that constantly desire to give each other the pleasure and happiness that you feel at this moment. Take care, my dear ones, to strive and continue to keep this desire throughout your married life. This way your love towards each other will never cease and your entire lives will be filled with happiness. However, the moment you find yourselves beginning to make demands upon each other, your happiness will begin to terminate. Again, we talked about this. It does not mean that you could talk about what your needs are. Making demands, that's not healthy. But for example, the five love languages, or you need words of appreciation and your husband or wife is very sparing with that, and you want to have a discussion with him or her about it, to talk more kindly or to say more kind words to each other or to spend more quality time with each other. Not only is that not unhealthy, that's very healthy. That's not what it means here. That's a normal, healthy human need. And all the human needs that a husband and a wife needs, they could express. And they shouldn't be ashamed of expressing it. And that's not called selfishness. That's not called ego. But when it becomes a demanding thing, when it comes a, like, it's me, and the selfishness, the self-centeredness aspects of it, that's what we have to really work through. One of the basic things that we need to understand, although in our brains we do know that everyone is created differently, and therefore husband and wife certainly have different traits, different personalities. But really, to internalize it is hard. We can have a better understanding, based on what we're going to talk about now, as to why Hashem does pair husbands and wives who have very different personalities, and sometimes in many situations, opposite personalities. And we're going to discuss now that idea. When Hashem created Chava, Esa loy Ezer kenegdai. Ezer means a help, kenegdai means against him. And Rashi asks that question, right? And he says, if you're zeicha, if you're worthy, she'll be an Ezer to you, a helper. And if you're not zeicha, she'll be against you. The Netziv, which we quoted in different shiurim, but it's kedai to review. And here he puts in a nice flavor to it to explain it beautifully. The Netziv says as follows: a person's wife, with her different and sometimes opposite nature, can actually be of help to her husband. If the husband and wife would have the same traits, they would intensify the negative traits instead of growing together. That's a tremendous, tremendous yesod. Look at the Harchev Davar on the Pasuk. So Rabbi Morgenstern gives an explanation as an example of what the Netziv means based on a present-day matziv. Let's say a husband comes home furious. His neighbor blocked the driveway again. And he's hoping that his wife will share his anger and his angry feeling. He wants that validation. He wants her support. So in the short run, it would be beneficial for his wife as an Azer to share his reaction and show that anger too. You're right. It's terrible. And he feels her empathy, and that's great. But the problem is, if they both start to store up that storm with their anger, you'll have a full-fledged quarrel with the neighbor. And when matters calm down, they may both regret that they became that angry and created this whole, you know, being blown out of proportion and creating this rift. On the other hand, when he comes upset and furious why his neighbor blocked the driveway again, and the wife has the opposite nature, she has the kinegdai of that, and she has a calmer, relaxed, more less impulsive attitude towards it. And she can speak to her husband, calm him down, try to solve the problem in a peaceful way. Let's try a different angle. You're getting too upset, right? It seems kinegdai. So the Netziv says basically that even though the wife's initial reaction now, right, because she's kinegdai, she's not empathizing fully towards his anger and frustration. So it may be disheartening to him. She's not sharing his angry reaction. Nevertheless, in the long run, actually, it is beneficial for him, because her sharing her husband's angry mida would only serve to worsen her husband's anger and fuel it, while the kinegdai helps him control it. So that is the chesed of kinegdai, that very often initially we're frustrated by, but looking back, we realize what a tremendous chesed it actually is. Another example, if one of the spouses is very careful, frugal in a certain way, thinking twice before spending, comparing prices, looking for the best sales, while the other spouse's mentality is, no, if you need something, get it right away, go for it, even if it's a less, even if it's more expensive. Now, if they're both very careful and frugal in that way, it'll take ages before any purchase is made. Vice versa, if they're too both quick to spend, they'll be above budget and they may go into debt. So that balance helps a lot. Another example, if a wife is very organized and practical in schedule, and she packs everything in advance, and when going to a simcha, she's always on time, and when a bill arrives, she pays it right away, and the husband has that mahalach of, you know, well, we'll cross the bridge when we get there, and waiting for the last minute before paying a bill, we're going to simcha, and doesn't mind being late. So again, in this situation, if the organized wife always assists on her husband in getting those time-sensitive errands done on time, that's what she's going to do. But if they're both disorganized, they'll leave everything to the last minute. It will always be a mad rush. Not healthy, necessarily. If both are very organized and practical, they may get into a conflict of interests, each one trying to get things done in their own way. No, I want it my way. No, I want it my way. A certain stubbornness there that will create further friction. That balance of the difference creates a healthy balance. An example with me and my wife, as an example, when we were working on with the kids' homework, my wife is better on the math aspects of it. I'm better at the writing and reading aspects of it. So when it comes to the math and that stuff, my wife did most of those homeworks. And sometimes my wife says, you know, this is a reading comprehension, helping with writing. I know nothing about this, and I help with that. That's a sort of a kinegdai that helped pertaining to the helping out the kids with their homework. So you see, if you look carefully, you will see the Yad Hashem. Even on the frustrating, seemingly frustrating things, you'll see how two different or opposite traits of spouses actually creates a tremendous bracha, and you will see that tremendous bracha very, very clearly. Other examples, a husband has a quicker mind and is able to grasp concepts very quickly, like complex halachic stuff, while a wife needs more explanation in order to comprehend it. Or a wife can easily follow directions in a map to reach a destination, and a husband has no sense of direction at all. Those type of differences. So it's very, very important to recognize this and to understand also the lack of realism, that there is no one that has all positive traits that are found in one person. You know, Shlomo Wolba once remarked as follows. Before marriage, one thinks that the future spouse is a malach, and after he or she marries, they see that their spouse is only a human being, meaning that they have shortcomings just like you do. So very often, single boys and single girls model to dream up spouses after sometimes parents, sometimes people they admire, sometimes like a Rebbe, a Rebbetzin or a Gadol Hadar, and so on and so forth, and they expect them to be exactly that, or to tailor-made to their individual tastes, to their individual needs, exact specification, or they dream up a lifestyle according to their own ego-driven desires. And he says poignantly, you know, it's like when you want to get to a target, and instead of shooting at the target to see if you hit the target, you shoot the arrow first, and then afterwards draw the picture of the bullseye around that arrow. You know, that's what it is. Shleimus amidais. Perfection in marriage is achieved when spouses can live peacefully despite their differences. And the word perfection is not really correct, because there's no such thing as perfect perfection in this world. We have to accept the reality that we'll never be perfect. There'll never be a perfect world, but we have to do our best. Avram had his nisyonos, his 10 nisyonos. Us, we have our own nisyonos often, and we just need to work through it. And we need to understand that there's a gap, and it's okay to have that gap. There are differences between husbands and wives. Different backgrounds, different family lifestyles, different education, different inherent traits. And the sad part is sometimes that creates a doubt when there's clashes or disagreements. And a husband and wife sometimes wonder, are we truly made for each other? But in actuality, there's absolutely nothing wrong, absolutely nothing inherently wrong when they discover those dissimilarities. Rav Shlomo Wolbus, he said even more so, that when the differences start to surface between a couple, it's a sign that they're growing closer. Not that they're growing further apart, but that they're growing closer. And he explains that during the dating period, they don't expose their true selves. And when they get married, then you start exposing those true selves. And then you become closer, but that comes with some conflict. Revolver once asked one of his Talmidim who came to him a month after his wedding, did you have any disagreements with your wife? And the Talmud happily replied, he didn't have any disagreements, Baruch Hashem. But Revolver told him, then you haven't yet begun your marriage. Very, very insightful comment. It is a healthy thing to have these disagreements and these bumps in the road. Changing midos, changing habits and lifestyles does not happen overnight. We'll discuss more in a later chapter of how to go about it in the right way, in a gradual way. But husbands and wives ultimately need to come to that realization that their spouse grew up many years with different habits, with different lifestyle, different personality. You can't change a person inherently. But ultimately, it is all a chesed, it is all basheret, it is all min hashamayim, and you work towards those differences and working with each other with it, and you can have the most beautiful marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.